Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for this hour. I'm Amy Fuller. They are calling it one of the biggest scams of the century already. Listen to this. Hollywood stars and business leaders involved in college admissions, a bribery scandal, one of huge proportions. Actress Felicity Huffman and Full House actress Lori Loughlin accused. Lori Loughlin's charged. Huffman has been arrested. They are among some 46 accused of taking part in a pretty elaborate scheme, paying off college coaches and cheating on college entrance exams in some of the top colleges in the country, some Ivy League ones. People responding on Twitter here, they called it Operation Varsity Blues. A lot of people getting a kick out of that. The FBI just to, and there's William H. Macy. He's, of course, married, if you don't know, to Felicity Huffman, saying, I don't know her. You know, her name's being thrown around, and he is not at this point. But in any case, the FBI took down some 46 people going in and making arrests today. More than 300 federal agents acting in six states on both coast. And we did have some comments, some pressers from some of the people in charge, including, again, the IRS Criminal Investigations Division, and now some comments from the special agent in charge of the FBI from the Boston Division, Joe Bonalavantia.
So far, 38 individuals have been safely taken into custody, and seven are working towards surrender. One is being actively pursued. Another four are expected to plead guilty here in Boston, two later today, and two in the coming weeks. We believe all of them, parents, coaches, and facilitators, lied, cheated, and covered up their crimes at the expense of hardworking students and taxpayers everywhere. Our investigation began last May after we uncovered evidence of a large-scale, elaborate fraud while working an unrelated undercover operation. Following 10 months of intense investigative efforts using a variety of sophisticated techniques, the FBI uncovered what we believe is a rigged system, robbing students all over the country of their right at a fair shot to getting into some of the most elite universities in this country, such as Yale, Stanford, and Georgetown. We believe everyone charged here today had a role in fostering a culture of corruption and greed that created an uneven playing field for students trying to get into these schools the right way through hard work, good grades, and community service. Unfortunately, what many students didn't know was that the odds had already been stacked against them by corrupt practices, including but not limited to bribery, falsification of athletic profiles, and near-perfect SAT and ACT scores that were fraudulently obtained on behalf of other students when in reality they were far from perfect. Make no mistake, this is not a case where parents were acting in the best interests of their children. This is a case where they flaunted their wealth, sparing no expense, to cheat the system so they could set their children up for success with the best education money could buy, literally. Some spent anywhere from $200,000 to $6.5 million for guaranteed admission. Their actions were, without a doubt, insidious, selfish, and shameful. And the real victims in this case are the hardworking students who did everything they could to set themselves up for success in the college admissions process, but ended up being shut out because far less qualified students and their families simply bought their way in. What's also cause for concern is how this was even allowed to happen in the first place. Evidence we've obtained shows that trusted coaches and administrators manipulated the systems their universities had in place to accommodate students with fake athletic credentials, some of whom did not even play the sports they were recruited to play. It's a sham that strikes at the core of the college admissions process at universities across the country.
Welcome back to America Trends. Have you ever thought what is holding you back from I don't know, greatness, to release self-doubt and fear. Luckily, we have some people in this world who want to help us do just that and reach our full potential. And tonight on America Trends, we are welcoming Jose and Rhea of The Now Collective. They are with thenowcollective.org. They are mindset and accountability coaches, and they have a few things. You know, it's so neat to have you guys here because we can go through our day and try to do as best we can, but unless we sort of have these parameters and guidelines on how to guide ourselves and to reckon with some of the obstacles we have, we can just get into the same rut. Is that right?
That is absolutely right.
Yes.
Well, so what do you, so Jose and Rhea, what do you guys work on for us?
Okay, so what we do is we partner with creative individuals, professional individuals, who just need a different approach towards what they're trying to do because they're feeling resistance. And that usually happens when you're transitioning into doing something new or you're just confused and lack clarity.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a simple physics lesson. People in motion tend to stay in motion.
There you go.
People at rest tend to stay at rest. So we're going to tend to do what we're used to, but we might need to get out of that rut.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's definitely it.
And I think what I really appreciate about us is that we offer different ways to do that. So whether that's a very tactical way, you know, a very like, let's look at your habits and let's put in some place new habits, or the very like Eastern loving center for a second and really gain some clarity. You know, we offer different ways to get to past that wall.
A lot of ways to look at ourselves differently, even if it hurts a little bit.
It's going to hurt.
It does.
It's definitely going to hurt.
Yeah. So that's how you know it's working, probably.
Exactly. Because most of the time, what we're afraid to look at is that we've been the ones holding ourselves back and it's no one else's fault.
Mm.
And that's
probably
painful.
The hardest part.
Absolutely.
How do you get people past that?
You have to treat yourself with love and compassion. And you have to accept that you were only doing as good as you could at that moment, but that you have the power to do way better.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is that we have so much love and compassion for other people, but it's really hard to show it for ourselves. And that's something we definitely preach.
Self-care, for sure.
Yeah. Yes.
So how long ago did you guys get into this? And how do you, there's so many questions I have for you. Like, how do you really enable somebody to, because what you say, it sounds a lot like you need to have self-care.
Yes.
How do you really commit someone to doing that?
Okay, well, and I believe that it's analyzing your beliefs, what you accepted as what you wanted to believe and take as truth. Because usually it's a subjective look that we give towards life.
Oh, sure.
It's not really what's going on. Yeah. It's and just how we perceive
it. The sooner we realize that, the better we'll be, right?
We can get past it, absolutely. Yes. Huh. So we help them analyze their belief systems, their self-talk. The verbiage that you choose to use says a lot about yourself.
Okay, self-talk is so big. Tell me a little bit about that and how that plays into all this.
Cool.
Well, I think we have to really take a second and listen to what we're telling ourselves. So are we being critical of ourselves on a daily? We know we're talking to ourselves, and does the talk sound like, you know, you can't do this, or why would you? Why would anyone hire you? Or can we need to switch that to something more positive? Like, you can go, be great, be as big and beautiful and egg yourself on. So it's really about switching it to being your best friend instead of your biggest critic.
Because how many times have you found yourself doing something and you're like, oh, I'm so stupid, I'm so dumb. Those little things auto-suggest to you, exactly.
Yeah.
It's feeding into your subconscious.
Talking to Jose and Rhea from the Now Collective, and you're so right, because it can sound like something very little. But let's face it, the voice we're hearing most in our lives is that self-voice.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can change that even a little bit, because you can err on being harsh on yourself or kind to yourself. Boy, if you would err on being kind to yourself, what a difference that would make.
Imagine the things that you can accomplish with just simply, you know, egging yourself on.
Because either one might not be true. The harsh talk might not be true. The kind talk might not be true. But why not grab onto that and go for the best?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when did you guys get started in all this? And how did you do it, knowing that you wanted to just help people be their best selves?
Well, we can start on how we entered this journey. If you'd like to start.
Yeah. So for me, it was like 2016. It was towards the end of the year. And I had I hit a brick wall, pretty much. And I just felt pretty, like, hopeless and helpless. And I didn't understand at that moment that it's that I was just living within my own thoughts. I couldn't think beyond how I was feeling, and I was struggling with that. And when I finally came to getting a little bit of help as far as like self-help, self-development books goes, that's when it opened up to me that I can think beyond what I've been thinking this whole time. Like, that is super possible, even though it's difficult, but it is totally possible.
So without getting too personal into anything that's you don't want to share, what do you tell people that can help them? Because the more people listen to your personal anecdotes, the more they will glean from you. What do you tell them that really shines true for them? Like, what do they go through that you've sort of gone through that they can sort of elicit that, oh, I've been there?
Well, for myself, I would say that it was the daily hustle. Just working and not knowing what it was for, not knowing the destination, not knowing where I was going, but just that I have to stay in the rat race, because if I get out of it, then that means my finances get cut off, the bills start to pile up, and so forth. Like, everything starts to crumble. At least that's what the appearance is. Mm-hmm. So there's no time to focus on my passion. There's no time to focus on what I really want.
You have to keep your head above water, and that's what the so many people get into.
Yes.
Yeah. And with that being said, I think that's why we really focus and preach a morning routine, and we really, that's like one of our biggest tactical suggestions that we give, because we understand that we do have to support ourselves, and it's going to take time to get out of the rat race, so to speak, and go towards something that you do want to do and gain clarity on what it is you even want to do. So tactical wise, morning routines we swear by.
So that's your big thing, though. I mean, there are so many things they can go to for you guys if they contact you and want some of your help.
Yes.
But it does start with the morning routine.
Right.
So what do? We make our bed and start to feel organized there and go on with our day.
Well, what's beautiful,
right? It all helps.
To you. Right? Well, what's beautiful is that it's going to look different for every single person.
Uh-huh.
And when we talk about morning routine, we want it to be something that you as an individual comes up with for yourself. So something that I learned is, like, I cannot wake up and meditate immediately. He does that all the time. I will fall back asleep, and I'm okay with that. So for me personally, it looks more like I'm getting up and having tea with the sun. I'll stretch. I get ready pretty quickly. I'll take a shower early on in my morning routine to keep
having
me awake.
Having some me time before you have to report.
That's simply, that's all it is.
That all sounds
that's
good.
What it is.
That's all it is.
So Jose and Rhea, they are the mindset and accountability coaches for the Now Collective. You can check them out at the website, thenowcollective.org, and on Twitter, @thenowco. Boys, we need to have you guys on because we really need to think about what we do day to day. Will you guys keep us posted on all your, this is good stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
We'll see you next
time.
Thanks for coming on.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
If you are having trouble getting into the recycling business, the habit of it, we may have some people here for you. I have a gentleman here with me right now in this hour called Josh Turchin. He is with One Earth Recycling, and he is a third generation guy who recycles. And Josh, I know you warned me that this could make you go into a huge tangent about why it's so important, but that's okay because we need to hear it. How are you? Thanks for coming.
Very well. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Sure. So you must have been, if grandpa, grandma are doing this, you must have been just a little boy when you got into the act of recycling and why it's so important.
That's right. Grew up in the scrapyard.
Is that so?
Yep, indeed.
Southern California?
Yep, indeed. El Cajon. Actually, my I was born in New Jersey. My father and my mother's father were partners in New Jersey, and they moved out here when I was three. So,
really?
Thank my lucky stars, they made their way out to San Diego.
So what do you do now? What's your company do? It's called One Earth Recycling, and that's oneearthrecycling.com.
Right. So One Earth Recycling is dedicated to making recycling just as accessible and user-friendly as shopping.
Because it not always is. Sometimes we even have our own lawmakers preaching at us.
Exactly.
Then we find out they're not doing their due diligence in even the easiest ways, like taking paper bags or the plastic bags mm-hmm. back to the store to be recycled. What can we do if we think we're just too out of sync with making it easy and we're just too busy for all that?
Yeah, it's, you know, there definitely are challenges out there, and we are focused on addressing that problem, trying to make recycling easier for people to find. You know, there are a lot of challenges to the industry to begin with, and it's harder and harder for us to come by opportunities to open new locations, but we have built a new model that's designed to neatly fit into the shopping landscape.
And what's that like? Because you say you're user-friendly, and that's right. that's what people want, because people want to do good.
Sure. Yeah, we provide our customers with what we call a sorting station environment. If they haven't had the opportunity to sort their bottles and cans before they come in, we help them sort the material by type on site, and just kind of give them their own working space with a drain and a little trash dispenser and some gloves to work with. Just trying to give you your own space to get your stuff sorted as conveniently, as comfortably as possible.
So is your company just about people coming to your website and figuring out the best way to do things, or do you go enact things with certain, well, is that your storefront right there for one thing?
That was our storefront,
nice.
Correct. Yeah. We had brick and mortar locations in Mission Valley as well as Imperial
Beach.
That's
in San Diego, Southern California.
Correct, mm-hmm. Southern California. And we are now pivoting to a shipping container-based operation that makes our business a lot scalable, makes it easier for us to open more locations. We're aiming for 100 locations across California in 5 years.
So how's the trucking shipping thing work with your model?
Yeah, I mean, while we're around our own hub of San Diego, we're providing our own infrastructure, our own shipping, and then when we get further away, we'll contract with local operators who provide the downstream outlet for the material. But we are just focused on crafting the customer-facing solution so the customer has somewhere nice and pleasant to go and get rid of stuff quickly and easily and make sure they know they're doing the right thing for the planet.
Josh Churchin with OneEarthRecycling.com. If there are people who maybe live in an area where they don't have accessible storefronts like yours or people that can pick up, and they're not even, you know, so many people and so many municipalities are saying, mm-hmm. here's an easy way to recycle, but it's not always easy.
Right.
What can you tell people? What kind of guidance can you give them?
As a matter of fact, in California, grocery stores are required to provide their customers with the opportunity mm-hmm. to get their California redemption value back mm-hmm. within a half mile of the store, or the grocery store is required to redeem those containers in the store. And the grocery stores generally don't want to deal with it, but there should be an opportunity close to you, and we are trying to provide that service on their behalf on a larger scale moving forward.
And that leads to, like, what's it been like since you, because, okay, I'm not going to ask how old you are, or maybe you want to tell, but you're third generation. I bet things have changed a lot since you were a little baby or a little boy, and then your father, then grandfather or grandmothers got into it mm-hmm. and trying to make the earth a better place, mm-hmm. and here you are today. I bet it's a whole different scenario.
You know, things have changed, but they haven't changed that much.
Really?
We sort of, as an industry, we're stuck in an old model of implementation that fails to acknowledge the quality of the customer's experience, kind of treats the customer's experience as merely incidental. The customer's going to put up with whatever recycling center is going to be, or else they're not going to have an opportunity to recycle. And that is the pain point that One Earth is specifically aiming to address.
There, you know, are there some misunderstandings that we may not know that you know that are still out there in the atmosphere? You know, I hear people say that even the plastic bags, they don't really, they're not great to be recycled. Mm-hmm. They don't go away as quickly as we thought. Is that true? And what other things do you want to tell us that could clear up some fallacies?
Specifically in the case of plastic bags, that's actually an item that's in high demand, any kind of film like plastic bags. The challenge for us is getting our customers to dry them and clean them before they bring them into recycle. But they use them as in-feed for that artificial decking material in a lot of cases, and it's a good item. There's actually ongoing demand for that item.
Hmm. I see you've got your credit card or debit card here with mm-hmm. you. And are we going shopping, or did you have some... Yeah, go ahead and hold it up. Josh,
so,
what is that?
It's an important part of our approach to position recycling as a powerful marketing vehicle for the merchants who can benefit from our unique ability to flood the shopping landscape with environmentally concerned consumers armed with new money. So we're trying to direct the connection between reverse retail recycling and shopping. You know, I just think it's compelling that recycling is treated as something that's an eyesore or something that's hard to fit into the shopping landscape. But we're a very unique engine of new money, and we're just trying to really polish the shell of our business and the user interface so that recycling and shopping become integrated parts of the same function. The responsible retirement of your used stuff becomes part of the acquisition of new goods and services.
It is synergy. So exactly. If I want a card like that, I can contact my bank and say, I want that green card. What do we do?
You get it at One Earth Recycling. This is the the way we pay our recycling customers. It's free to the customer, it's free to us. And long term, we're looking to develop a range of merchants who are going to give you discounts when you use your recycling money to go shopping. We're trying to, again, position recycling as a marketing vehicle for those merchants. merchants who will then enable our growth through the state and beyond.
Oh, so good. So, yep. Josh, thanks for coming on and telling us about
thanks
all this.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Final moments, you
really
want to tell
the visibility.
Yeah, for sure. And keep us posted on what you're doing. Yep. But give a final pitch on what your website offers and what you want to get across to people.
Yeah, I mean, we have upcoming locations, University Avenue, just west of College, south of SDSU, coming
this
up.
This is San Diego, though.
San Diego, correct.
We're nationwide, but they can contact you on your website and find you anywhere, right?
You know, the legislative environment in California is really accommodating for us, so we are aiming to grow through California at this point, but hopefully eventually we'll move east. And then in San Diego, we hope to open close to the sports arena, San Diego Sports Arena, hopefully as well within the second quarter of this year. So looking to grow and keep update on our Facebook page and our Instagram, and we'll be posting as soon as those arrangements are definite.
Josh from One Earth Recycling, thank you for what you're doing. It must be really neat to have the legacy from your, was it grandfather and,
yep.
and father
yep.
on from
Indeed.
There? How old were you the first thing that you learned about any of this?
I was three when we moved out here. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I grew up driving on the scrap truck with my dad. We had our tradition. We'd always go get donuts every Sunday and pick up scrap from our customers. Aww. I'm very lucky. I mean, it's not seen as glamorous, but I'm lucky to be doing something that I don't have to oversell. Everybody needs what we do, and I'm excited to provide that service.
A reason for being.
Exactly.
Good on you, Josh.
Thanks again.
Thank you for sharing with America Trends.
Thank you very much again.
You bet. We are going to be right back with Bart Marquez. He is a former undersecretary for George W. Bush with some of the political headlines of the day. So I hope you stick around for America Trends here on U2 America and on Biz Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
My brain, and maybe you know it's obvious. I'm a sucker for you. Say the word and I'll go anywhere.
3-3.
It's been 24 hours. I need more hours with you.
All about the political headlines of the day, and boy, are there so many yet again. Tucker Carlson under fire. Well, for saying things he said a few years ago. And some publication took time to go through, I don't know, years of his sound bites to try to mark him. I don't know. We are with our friend of the show, Bart Marquez. He's an undersecretary, former for President George W. Bush. That's 43. He's a career diplomat. And Bart, welcome back to America Trends.
Thank you, Amy. It's always great to be with you.
Good to see you. So all of a sudden last night on Twitter, Tucker Carlson was trending because of what? Let's just break it down.
Okay, so the reason everybody loves Tucker Carlson is the same reason everyone loves President Trump, or normal people love President Trump. They're both fiercely dedicated to the First Amendment, to free expression, and they say things that people say, oh, can you really say that? Oh, right. Dear, can that be said? Tucker Carlson went on a radio show, goes on frequently on a radio show with a guy named... Bubba the Love Sponge.
And wait, Bart, say
yeah.
again.
He goes on a radio show with a guy named Bubba the Love Sponge.
You're making that up, right?
I am not making that up. He's a shock jock. He's funny. He's irreverent. They make fun of everything and everybody. And the whole thing is tongue in cheek, and it's a lot of jokes, some of them coarse, some of them funnier than others. But it's an understood art form that this is comedy commentary, and they get on there and they have a great time. And it's like talking to Howard Stern, not as crude as Howard Stern, but in that same vein. And these guys, these pusillanimous, anonymous, cowardly little pencil neck kind of people who worked for an outfit called Media Matters for America, sat there and listened to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, going back over 10 years, of Tucker talking with this DJ, this Bubba. And I forget his real name. He has a real name. It's something innocuous.
His last
innocuous.
Name is the Love Sponge.
Yes, that's right. And they were just listening for something that they could then, take the vapors over and take offense at and provoke crank up the outrage machine. And they found it because that was the whole point of the conversation, was to say things that were provocative and outrageous. And so these guys wrote it all down and they released it the day before Fox News is ready to set its advertising rates. Oh, because what they want to do is destroy the island of free expression and of normalcy, Tucker Carlson. And they want to say, oh, look, this guy, you call him normal? Well, look how crude he is. Look at this outrageous thing that he said. And Tucker's having none of it.
So we've heard this tune before, always before they set the ad rates, and they focus on Tucker, Hannity. Back in the day, it was O'Reilly.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. They tried it with Rush Limbaugh when Twitter was new. And Tucker said, look, you know, I've seen this movie before. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to come out. I'm supposed to grovel at the feet of the Twitter gods and say, I'm so, so sorry. Please don't do anything bad to me. And they will say, all right, you resign and be quiet and stop being effective. And then we'll let you go back to your life. But you will sit like the guys at the end of the novel 1984, sipping absinthe and being an example of broken men to all of the people who dared stand up against Big Brother. And Tucker said, you know what? Bite me. I'm not going to do that.
Wait, Bart, what did he say?
Well, I'm paraphrasing.
No, Bart is like one of the, I love this because you've been on fire the past couple weeks. You're one of the nicest analysts we have. And you've been a little fierce lately and we love it.
Sometimes I just can't help myself. I like Tucker, like President Trump. The thing that drew me to President Trump in the first place, way back in the beginning of the primaries, was that he went there, he said that, and he was determined to stop the PC police from limiting what we can talk about and what we cannot talk about. And unless there's somebody out there saying that, in the old days, it was the left that did this. It was Lenny Bruce that would get out and take on the Hayes Commission and everybody else and say, why can't we say this? Now it's the right wing saying it, because if you can't say things that are outrageous, maybe you can't say things that are politically provocative either, or that will simply provoke somebody to think other than what is handed to them by their thought masters.
It's such an old, boring story that someone drums up some past account that someone somewhere said that they don't like. Find the man, we'll find you the crime. And they try to sling arrows at him, and he goes on, whomever, goes on an apology tour, maybe goes to drug rehab, sex rehab, whatever, to be part of the apology tour. And it's ridiculous. Grow a spine, stand up for what you said, and even if it was years ago, well, you know, I didn't say the right thing, but sorry, move on. Or, yeah, I meant it, move on.
Yeah, and kudos to Fox News for not buckling. They have not been profiles in courage in the last year or so in every instance, but they are this time. And I think they know this is a winning issue.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think Tucker did put out a tweet today saying, or someone, you know, I'm not going to bow down to this. And someone else put, how would you like to be that staffer going through these hours and days and months of audio of Tucker saying this, that, or the other? But I didn't realize it was all one media source. It's just, it's, hold on, Bubba the Love Sponge?
Yes, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Okay.
I've never heard of him before.
Okay,
he's in
sure
Florida,
about that,
evidently.
Bar. So just one guy, and this is all coming out, and now all of a sudden we're supposed to hate Tucker Carlson? What was it he said exactly that was so awful anyway?
Oh, it was a whole bunch of stuff. It was just outrageous stuff. I don't remember. I've read it three or four times, but I don't remember the details. And it wasn't something that I would say in a drawing room or even among family in most cases. But I don't go on the radio with a shock jock. And you know, I don't get much more outrageous than I do here on your show, Amy. This is about as bad as I get.
You're pretty sweet, Bart. Bart Markowitz, former Undersecretary for George W. Bush, as sweet as they come, career diplomat. But it does remind you, just a few weeks ago, we had the Oscar Awards, and for weeks, perhaps months leading up to it, who was the guy that was supposed to be their MC? Was it Kevin Hart?
Yes.
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
He was their MC. He was going to be the host. And then all of a sudden, he said something somewhere at some point and didn't apologize enough. And everyone said, that does it. He's awful. And he said, look, I apologized for this 10 years ago, whenever it was. I'm not going to keep doing this. And I love that he stood his ground. And this just seems like a little more of that. And you're not the boss of us to make us apologize for every single little thing just because it's on your timeline.
Exactly. And what's his name? The president of Media Matters for America lives in a glass house. This is a guy who used the word tranny to describe transgender people just a few years ago, more recently than the recordings that his sniveling little minions listened to of Tucker. So, you know, where does he get off?
Yeah, that's a big good question. Okay, we're going to talk about Venezuela, AOC, and more with Bart after this. Back on America Trends, we are talking to Bart Markowitz. He's a political analyst, former undersecretary to President George W. Bush, contributor for OpsLens.com. Go there weekly to see some of his articles, career diplomat. And last segment, we sorted out all the things going on with Tucker Carlson, why he was trending last night, what he might have said that upset oh so many. And he says he'll never bow to the mob, so that's kind of cool. Bart, we were going to talk about a few other things, including Venezuela, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Ilhan Omar and their whole gang of... I mean, has Pelosi lost control or what? Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Venezuela. That's okay. The easy part. I think
if that's the easy part, oh boy.
I think Mr. Maduro better check his passport and make sure his plane is fueled. Hmm. When the United States government orders diplomats out of a country, there's no good news that comes after that. It usually is the signal that a kinetic solution is about to take place, and they're getting the diplomats out of the way. Diplomats are, after all, a sort of official hostage. And before the war starts, you get the diplomats out. And we're clearing out the last of our diplomats today. Mm. So I think Maduro, if he leaves now, he can keep a lot of the money and he can go and live in some place that will take him and spend his money, the billions that he stole, and he can live out the rest of his natural life. If he doesn't, I'm afraid he'll find himself swinging from a yardarm like Mussolini at the end of World War II.
I mean, all eyes have been on Venezuela for I don't know how long. Can you give us a quick little brief history of Venezuela and what, socialism didn't work out so well?
Oh, it's just so sad. It's one of the wealthiest countries in the world. They have more oil than any country in the world. They have more gold than anybody but Australia and I think Canada. They were one of the wealthiest countries, not just in the Western Hemisphere, but in the entire world. And Chavez came in and said, we're going to have everything free. And of course, that meant that he stole a lot of money from the state oil company and from people that owned money and owned property, gave it to poor people who said, yay, we have money. But just as Maggie Thatcher said so many decades ago, the trouble with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And that's what they've run out of. They've run out of other people's money. Now they can't even turn on the lights. You know, there's a joke running around the internet today. What did socialists use to light their home before candles? And the answer is electricity.
Oh, the good old days.
And that's what's happening there. They have stolen so much that there's nothing left to steal. People are chasing down garbage trucks. Garbage trucks stop at intersections because they get swarmed by people looking in the back of the garbage trucks for food. There's a heartbreaking image on the BBC of a woman carrying her 15-year-old daughter's body to the morgue. She's walking to the morgue carrying her daughter's body because she died when the power went out at the hospital. Mm. And I heard a woman on the radio this morning say that her family in the Maracaibo region told her that over 80 babies, premature babies, died overnight at the hospital because the power went out, and these preemies were in, you know, were in intensive care, and they died all within a matter of a number of hours, and so the people are dying so that Maduro and so that Ocasio and Bernie Sanders and the other leftists in America can sacrifice these bodies on the altar of social. There's the picture right there. Thank you. That's the woman carrying the corpse of her 15-year-old daughter. It's just heartbreaking.
Bart, we can sort of, you know, on the tip of my tongue was saying, oh, so socialism, when you start giving away people's money, it goes away in time. Or you can talk about how in recent months, the big talking point has been in Venezuela, they're eating zoo animals to survive. But yes, also last week, that video came out of little children chasing around garbage trucks trying to eat. And the photo you just launched right there. This is serious business. It's no joke.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And we have these idiots running around the United States talking about socialism as if it means that you're going to have free doctor's visits. How many doctors can you visit when they have no electricity and when they have no medicine and when there's no food and they can't treat you? It's shocking, the stupidity of the people in the United States who are living in the wealthiest country and the most powerful country in the history of the world, made that way because we gave people liberty to pursue their own self-interest the way they saw best. And we released them from the iron boot of government oppression.
And we're smart enough, we're creative enough, we have the resources. We had brilliant founding fathers and mothers who put things together that for hundreds of years later, we would say, glad they did that, Electoral College being just one. But then you have people coming up saying, like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and her cute nickname, AOC. A trillion's just a bunch of zeros. We're just going to give it all away. I mean, what nuttiness has she come up with this week, Bart?
Well, you know, the thing that is really most fascinating about her in the last day or two is the information that's come out that she admitted that she essentially is not actually a member of Congress. She's an actress portraying a member of Congress. She got her job by literally answering a casting call. They had 10,000 people submit names, or 10,000 names were submitted to be candidates for Congress to this group, the Justice Democrats. And her brother submitted her name, and they looked at her, and they looked at her tape, and they looked at her presentation. They said, this is perfect. An empty head who can parrot talking points all day long. And there's a video that I've been sent by probably seven people today of a fellow exposing this and
who's behind AOC? Is that the video?
Yes, who is behind AOC?
Oh, yeah, I've
AOC.
Gotten that too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he shows another Alexandra, not Alexandria, Alexandra Rojas, who is an organizer of the Justice Democrats, talking about how they recruited her. And then it'll show Alexandra Rojas saying something, and then it shows Ocasio saying the same thing. Oh. It'll show Chakrabarty, I forget his first name.
Yeah, so much to watch. Bart Marquise, thank you so much.
baby, go.
All right, all right. This is America Trends. You've been with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. You can find me at Twitter at Amy Fuller, A-I-M-E-E. And please catch us on our website, U2America.com, and the site for BizTalk Radio. But here you can click on through and find us on social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any or all. And we'd love to connect with you and all be friends. And look at this. On BizTalk Radio, you can find some of our previous podcasts, meaning our daily podcast. You can just click in and find some of our previous guests, like today, Bart Marquise. He's on once a week with the political headlines of the day, always a lot of fun. And so we'll see you there. But also, just don't forget social media, okay? Just want to mention Twitter is at America Trends TV. So let's all connect. Finally tonight, we want to tell you about, this is almost sort of like the Freddie Mercury thing, Rocket Man. New movie coming out. Got a little trailer for you to show. It's coming out May 31st. And a little retrospective on who? Elton John, one of the treasures of American music. And we're going to give you your first look at this as we head on out from America Trends, and we say we're very glad you could be with us for the hour.
Feeling in
I could hear the whole tune in my head. It was all there, I could see all the notes, and I just had to get it out.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside.
What did you say your name was again?
My name is...
Reggie!
Reginald Dwight.
Reginald? That's my granddad's name.
So how does a fat boy from nowhere get to be a soul man?
You gotta kill the person you were born to be in order to become the person you want to be.
I'm thinking of changing my name to Elton.
But that's my name.
Yeah, I know.
You could be the best-selling artist in America if you desire.
I was trying to do something bold.
Why are you still something flashy?
Can you even play the piano in those?
Let them know who you are.
And just don't kill yourself with drugs.
So how does it feel to be a star?
It's never gonna last.
Let's just enjoy it while we can.
First sleeping arrangements get out, all of this is gone.
I just hope you realise you're choosing a life of being alone forever.
Don't you want to just sing without this ridiculous paraphernalia?
People don't pay to see Reg Dwight. They pay to see Elton John.
Sorry.
Do you even care how much pressure I am under?
Not really. I'll still be collecting my 20% long after you've killed yourself.
Maybe I should have tried to be more ordinary.
You were never ordinary.
What a shy little boy you were. Look at you now.